been singing all the way around. I forgot to welcome Jackson. Jackson, it's good to see you tonight. We're glad you're here. How old are you? Do you know how old you are? Yeah, that's kind of what I felt like. That's a good deal. It's an easy crowd to be able to get along. Hey, has anybody got a deer they want to talk about since we were here last? Anybody got one?
I know.
You got one on the way to church here. Got one on the way to church. What'd you shoot it with?
6.8 Western.
All right. That's just about $3 a bullet is about what that runs. That's a pretty cheap hunt.
Yeah.
Sarah killed one with a GMC Denali. And that's 8 points. I don't know how much that figures for that bullet.
A lot. Did
y'all get it looked at yet? No, not yet? Huh. Well, there you go. I'm going to guess somewhere around, somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000. That's what I'm going to guess. And all that right there. But anyhow, we got him skin up and skin out and so forth and on and all that business there. Went through the legal process and everything. And so, hey, here we go. Good job. Good job. And so he shot his tonight on the way. He went to just fill up, feed up a feeder and saw it. He said about 75, 80, maybe 100. That means 150 yards or so. Shot it free-handed. And so that's pretty good right there. Anybody else got anything they want to say? Any of you boys, Jackson, you got any family secrets you want to tell? No, not you. Huh? No, not you. He's got one or two. You know a couple of secrets? Yeah. We'll get them after church, all right? Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Jude. In the book of Jude. And all that right there. I always like talking to these little ones here. Especially whenever they're in. You say, is there anything your mom and daddy don't want you to tell? And they'll spit it out. Yes, sir. Excuse me. Let me get this on. How's that right there? Got it going. Jude, verses number 18 and 19. Now, we used this passage here the other night, and we used a couple of things out of Jude because of the fact it's the last book of the Bible before the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. He said, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, Father, we ask a blessing upon the reading of the Word. We do thank you for it. We thank you for these that have gathered tonight. We pray you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. May you save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free is our prayer. We thank you for having heard and answered prayer. And Lord, as we present these other petitions, may you meet them in accordance to thy word and will. And we'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to say that as we look into these passages, I want to entitle this, Last Day Markers. Last Day's Markers. These are mockers, and by that I'm not talking about a marker, but mockers that mock, and they make fun, they belittle the thing. Remember over there, whenever they said, where's the promise of His coming? I mean, since the beginning of time, is that there's not been any changes. Well, that's a lie. They don't know any better than that. But let me say to you that, if you will, that you can tell those that mock and make fun of God in the Bible, you can tell those that mock by the way they walk. Did you notice in that lesson there that he said their own ungodly lusts? That's what they're walking after. They care about nothing spiritual. In fact, is they want to separate from those that are spiritual, and they want to be able to follow their own ungodly, not just lust, but their own ungodly lust. And let me tell you what happens is that these are people that are sinners by birth. Now, everybody in the building tonight was born as a sinner without hope, without God. And not only are we sinners by birth, but you'll find these were sinners by choice. They wanted to sin. They liked sinning. They was full of lust, full of burning, full of envy, full of strife, full of sin. And let me tell you something. Not only were they sinners by choice, but they were sinners by inventions. Now, you know, the Bible said over there in the book of Psalm, and I'll give you a moment. Don't lose your text or your thought. But over there in the book of Psalm, the Bible says in chapter number 106, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. And whenever you begin to look into it, you're going to find out that what God does is that men have sought out many inventions that suit their lust and their own little fancy, if you please. Psalms 106 and 1 verse number 29. And the Bible says, and thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. And the plague break in upon them. Look at that. In this passage you're looking at, you'll find out is that God said they provoke God to anger with their own inventions. These are people here, not just sinners, buddy. These are people that are inventing sin. In the lesson there, look in verse 39, chapter 106. He said in the passage, and thus were they defiled with their own works, and they went whoring with their own inventions. You know, if you get away from the word of the Lord, you've got to make up something, invent something on your own, as though that you were God and that your word meant anything whatsoever. And God said, now you become a whore after your own invention. I want to say to you that, if you will, there's a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's in chapter number 7. And let me read that to you, or you can flip over there and look at it as you will. But in chapter 7 of the book of Ecclesiastes, look in verse 29. And the Bible said, and lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright. Now look at that. You know, when God made a man, he made him upright and put him in the Garden of Eden. And yet you find, while God made man upright, but they've sold out many inventions. That's why man's lost and undone, without hope and without God, because of the fact that he wasn't happy with what God gave, and so he invented some things on his own that he might be. You can tell a mocker by the way they walk. Not only that, you can tell it in the last days by the way they talk. I was thinking about, you know, whenever they talk about lust, they talk about lucre. You know, it's not hard while you turn to the book of James in chapter number 5, over there in the book of James in chapter number 5, and verse number 1, we'll look at it here in a minute. But you can tell a mocker by not only the way that they walk, but the way also that they talk. And let me say to you, their talk will be about lust, things they're wanting. Their talk will be about lucre, things they can collect. You know, that's why God said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced himself through with many sorrows. Now let me say to you, in the book of James, in chapter 5, verse 1, we'll take off reading there. Go to now, you rich man, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Now, I won't tell you what you better do when you look at that. The world's not going to pay attention, but misery's coming. We've already seen a little and a lot of it in this world that we're living in. It may not be directly to you, but make no mistake about it, misery's on the way. Notice he said, your riches are corrupt and your garments are moth-eaten. Not only that, what we've got here is temporary. If you didn't get it from God, it won't be lasting for all eternity. You find your riches are corrupt, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver in this first six verses there, your gold and silver's cankered. And he says, and you live in pleasure. Did you notice that? I got to tell you, the warning that God had been giving them, they ignored it. The warning that God had been giving them, they mocked and made fun of it. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that they were so, I don't know, standing in awe and hypnotized by the glitter and the glamour of the gold and silver, they forgot all about the Lord going to come. And nothing wrong with having a little money. I've got a little bit of money in my pocket here tonight. And I want to say to you that it probably wouldn't be impressive to you, but I'm glad for everyone that I've got of it. Let me say to you that, if you will, is that they mocked the messengers of God. They made fun of the message, and they made fun of the messenger. Now, I had somebody tell me one time, well, you know, I don't want to be in no controversy in church. Well, then you might as well get up and leave and go on now, because if you go to the house of God, sooner or later, the world, the flesh, and the devil's going to show up, and they're going to do what they can to be able to sidetrack you from the things of God. in this lesson that we're looking at over there in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter number 36. That's a passage there that's familiar to you. But in 2 Chronicles over there in chapter number 36, this Bible said that when you begin to look into it, that these are people here that they came and mocked and made fun of the messengers of God. Look in chapter 36, 2 Chronicles, and verse number 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people until there was no remedy. Now, you know what ends up happening, don't you? Sin will carry you past the point of no return. And the Bible said that these are people there that whenever God sent them preachers, they made fun of them. God gave a message of God through it, they made fun and mocked it. I want to say to you, when you talked about going to church, when they're not even faithful themselves, that gives the church and that gives Christianity a bad name. The most important thing in this world that you'll ever come up against will be the subject of the salvation of your soul. Now, regardless of whatever else you may or may not come in contact with, the most important thing to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, the most important thing to you that are here tonight is the salvation of your soul. Over in the book of Mark, the Bible says in chapter number, I believe it's in chapter number 8, as we look there in chapter 8 and about verse number 36 in the book of Mark, I want to say to you that whenever you look into this Bible passage, he's asking a question. And here's what he says in verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the world, the whole world, and lose his own soul? I understand that Mr. Trump, though I voted for him, I wish I had a good Christian godly man to vote for, but I just voted for the lesser of two evils. But anyhow, I understand that he won, I forget how many millions of dollars off of some, whatever it was, stock market deal or something that he was involved in. You may know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, do I wish that I'd have had that investment? Sure, sure, just like you sitting here wish you had. I don't have anything yet. I've not gotten anything yet. I've not bought anything. I'm not knocking you that do, and I just hope you get ball rich. And I hope you'll, not only that, but you'll be a tither. Not a hider, but a tither. I know there's a lot of people come through here, buddy, and they look mean and mad over there at Miss Deanna and thinking she's telling me everything. She's not telling me nothing. She would. She likes to gossip. But she doesn't. Because that's not the kind of people that we are. I want to get gossip. I try to get gossip from Miss Faye and Miss Diane. They're all sitting right there ready to go with it. Most of the time when I ask them, hey, you got any good juicy gossip? No, we was hoping you brought us some. Their eyes light up. The Bible said that when you begin to look into it, the most important thing to any man, woman, boy, or girl is the salvation of your soul. Now, what would it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Does that sound like a man walking in lust? Does that sound like a man, buddy, that's talking and lustful thinking and things after this world? Of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed whenever he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. I want to say unto you, the most important thing that you'll ever come upon in this world is the salvation of your soul. Could I ask you this when he says, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Well, we know a man by the name of Esau, and he traded his soul for a mess of pottage. What a cheap thing way out. Some of these folks that are there in this election, you know, and there's a whole bunch of them, and I'm telling you right now is that what's that man's name? Rich, that pick guitar picker, used to be big and rich. You know the song. What's the name of that singer there, Andrew, that plays chicken with the train, train chicken? He comes on and says, if you believe in God and faith and family, you need to get you some of this whiskey, and he's selling whiskey. Well, now, I got news for him, and I don't care how big his partner was or how rich he's become. I can tell you what he's going to do. He's going to bust hell wide open. Right. Same as with all the other people, that most of them that are on there in Fox News and so forth. Let me just say it again. I don't want to deal with it tonight, so we're not going to go to it. There is no such thing in the Bible as a beer-drinking Christian. No such thing in the Bible. Now, people want to come along with this crazy idea, and they're going to have it whether the Bible's pointed out or not. I don't believe it's wrong with taking a little drink, long as you don't get drunk. Okay, here you go, Buster. Let me have that from the Word of the Lord. They can't give it to you. Whatever I'm telling you, I can give it to you. In fact, is, well, you know, if you just sip a little, what if you just sipped a little? God said, don't even look at it while it bites in the cup, so forth and on. So let me just tell you right now is that you and I live in a world that somehow or another have lost track of the blessed word of the Lord. Hebrews, we're going to be done with it in the book of Hebrews. There's a chapter over there in chapter 9, also chapter 12, but in Hebrews in chapter 9. Let me tell you, if you're a child of God, is that you'd better ignore all those mockers and all those people that are refusing the message, belittling the word of the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says in chapter number 9 and in verse number 28, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Now, in the passage that's there, you're looking at, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now, why does it say the sins of many and not the sins of the world? Because everybody in the world is not going to receive what Christ has done, but there are many that will. So he's just singling out those that do. And he said Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them, here's how you can tell if you're a child of God, that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin and salvation. If you're a child of God tonight, you're looking for Jesus to come. Chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2, and we're going to close. The Bible said that when you look into it, wherefore seeing you also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience. Or let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Let me tell you why you're running. Verse 2 will tell you what you're looking for. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm not as excited about going before the judgment seat as you might be, but nonetheless, I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm not trying to hold out. I'm not doing the best I can. Some days I do better than others. But it doesn't make me any difference about my children, about me being a child of God. In closing, let me give you this thought just so that you'll know it. Here you have children sitting before you. And every now and again you have to get on to them. And when you do get on to them, sometimes you even raise your voice. Sometimes you get Mr. Paddle out. And let me tell you, there's always it like a court, and I didn't do this, or blah, blah, and I'm sorry. And the bottom line is, when they're bad, they're still your kids. When they're good, they're still your kids. They're not any more your kid bad than they are good. They're still your kids. And let me tell you right now is that if they need to be disciplined, then you do it. Every now and again, you'll go to town. There'll be some little old nasty loud mouth screaming and crying snotty nosed kid that wants this and mama ain't going to buy it for him. And you're thinking, I'd like to go over and say, ma'am, I'd be glad to smack this little but no, you're not going to do that. You know why? They don't belong to you. They don't belong to you. I got to tell you right now is that I'm a child of God when I'm good. I'm a child of God when I'm bad. And the difference is sometimes he has to use a little chastisement to straighten me out. And whenever he does use chastisement, when he turns me loose, I'm a better boy. I act better, look better, do better, act so forth and on. So it's good every now and again, instead of getting bogged down and blinded with that crowd that's walking after their own ungodly lust, it's good every now and again to just check in with the Heavenly Father and say, now, Lord, give me direction and lead me and guide me. And thank you for the word of the Lord and thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that's led me and guides me therein. As we get ready to leave here tonight, I got to tell you, it's good to know the Father and the free pardon of sin. Now, I don't just call upon him. Listen, you know, since the day I got saved, I hadn't missed a day talking to him. Either when I get up in the morning. Listen, it might be up in the middle of the day before I really have a serious thing, and then I may have something I want to bellyache and gripe about. He'll just love me anyhow. He'll just keep loving me anyway. And forgives me to where we can have fellowship one with another. I'm glad to know that God's not a Baptist. I know most of you here tonight, and I don't look around unless there's one of these little ones that doesn't yet know the Lord. And I suppose that most of you know the Lord. If not, then, hey, you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you, knocking at your heart's door. And let me say to you, salvation is free for your asking. It's for everyone that'll receive him and for everlasting to those that do. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, it's good to be saved and to know you. Be with those that could not be. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart. And Lord, trouble those upon their bed tonight that need to know you in the free pardon of sin. And Lord, we'll say thank you.